Shalom, it's Keisha Gallagher with Grace and Torah, wishing you a very happy new month of Shavuot. As you can see, the scenery behind me has changed. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, visiting my in-laws this month, and I thought I would be outside and give you guys a great view, but it's very cloudy. It's been raining, which is good for the desert, but unexpected. Every time I've been here, it's been really sunny, so I'm hoping the lighting will be okay. So, I thought I would begin by reviewing the month of Tevet, and I often do that when I write about new months, but I haven't been doing it in the video. So, how was your month of Tevet? Was it good, tov, or was it difficult to find the good in your situation, your circumstances, or especially with people in this month? Did you look inward instead of outward when you made judgments, which was the past month's Tevet's tribe, Din, judgment? Was it difficult to make righteous judgments? And tied right into that was the sense of anger, knowing ahead of time that you would have to deal with righteous judgment, would have to deal with finding the good in things. Did it make it easier when you had to struggle with the emotion of anger and discern whether it was truly righteous anger or if it was just your flesh rising up? So hopefully if you're journaling, then you've been taking note of those things. So all the winter months are associated with root issues. And I'm going to use the analogy of a tree, especially since we're in the month of trees with the month of Shavuot. And so root issues in the winter, what's going on in a physical tree in its roots? And that's where the main activity is taking place, in the tree. You can maybe do this with your children. Look up the science of what's going on with trees when their foliage falls and they look dead on the outside. What's going on inside that tree? Because that's what matters. And people are trees. In scripture, metaphorically, Adonai likens us to trees in many different places, and I hope to cover a few of those in this little teaching. So what about the greater body, though? If we're talking about root issues first individually, before we go to that, the larger body individually, what happens with root issues? You're talking about identity, generational things that are affecting your life in the present. You're looking at root issues of things that you struggle with when you notice patterns, particularly in your life. If you keep experiencing the same things over and over, just slightly different, or if Adonai keeps putting the same type of person around you, different people, yet very similar attributes, there's a reason that that is happening. And it's like you're being tested over and over and you're not passing the test. And I know we all want to pass our test. So if we're looking at the greater body, we're dealing with the offices of shepherds, pastors, teachers, apostles, those that are sent out, prophets. Prophets are affected really all year long, depending on the type of prophetic gift that one has. But here we have the people that are bringing grounding to the body, and that's what a shepherd and a teacher particularly does. They bring grounding, especially to local bodies. They are really tested. And as a matter of fact, it's usually the body that's bringing the testing of whether or not they have the right for that position or whether or not they're doing their job the way they think it should be done. Those sorts of things. They're attacked. And so if you are in one of those positions, you're probably struggling with direction, purpose, vision, more so for the near future and whether to go forward. There's disappointment that takes place, especially with people. We lose our faith in the people because we're being bombarded by them often. So we question whether we should move forward, or maybe all the struggle is because Adonai doesn't really want me in this, we're in this place. But that's not typically what's happening. We see dealing with the stinging swords, which are the words of the Greeks, the Amalekites, and the Persians. And I'm using those metaphorically because we deal with those with Hanukkah. We deal with them in the Torah portions, the Amalekites, and we deal with the Persians in the upcoming month of Adar, which is still a winter month, with the book of Esther and Purim. So we're going to be dealing with all of these emotions and things in the winter months. So in Shavuot, particularly in this 11th month. And 11, we could talk a lot about the number 11. You can go to my Miss Parim menu heading and look at numbers. And there's a post for 1 through 10 and another one for 11 through 30. And look at 11 and look at where, how it's presented in the scriptures. But anyway, with the 11th month, we could even say the 11th hour. You know, there's things that are about with coming in at the very tail end of things. And so I'm working on an article about the Amalekites, because in this month, in the Torah portions, remember, this is where they end up battling the Amalekites. And this is where Moses ends up having to hold his hand up. And his hand grows weak with his staff in it. And because of that, he has to have Aaron and Hur actually hold his arm up. So I don't know that I'm going to talk about it for the month, but I will be writing an article about it. I've actually just about finished it. So what does Shabbat mean? Phonetically, it sounds very similar to Shabbat. They're not spelled exactly the same, but they are sound-alikes. So there should be something along the lines of experiencing a Sabbath spirit this month, but there's going to be a struggle in getting there. So anyway, keep that in mind. But it also is related to the Shabbat staff or a rod, and we do see that in these Torah portions, or in one of them particularly this month. The tribe is Asher, and his name means happy or happiness. And we're going to talk about that for sure. And if we wanted to go into the tribal blessings, which I'm not going to read to you this in this paper because I have two articles I'm going to direct you to, but it has to do with Asher's the one with the royal dainties. What are royal dainties? I believe that is those divine, delicate foods that Adonai gives from heaven. And we're also, his foot is dipped in oil, and that oil should be the oil of the Holy Spirit. And so the mazel, we are going to discuss this too, is the deli, and it is the bucket or a water pail that pours forth water, or the Aquarius. We're going to talk about that. And so the feast, there is a traditional feast. It is Tu B'Shavat, which is the 15th of Shavat, which is a traditional festival commemorating the New Year of Trees. And that may sound really strange. New Year of Trees? What? Is that even in the Bible? Well, we do have the principle of tithing of fruits, and many fruits grow on trees. And so there had to be a tradition for them to actually have a cutoff time for when to receive those tithes for the trees. And a Hillel is the one that actually set up the 15th of Shabbat. And so there's even a little Seder you can do that has to do with the seeds and fruit of trees. And I believe First Fruits of Zion Ministry even has a little booklet you can get. It's inexpensive. And I encourage you to go do that, especially with your family. It's really interesting for the kids because there's so many metaphors with trees and seeds and fruit and people. Okay, and then so the themes of this month in Israel, which is interesting. I was there just last month and I'm looking around and the scenery looks a lot like Israel to me right now, being in Arizona. But this is when the trees first begin to wake up, and the almond tree is the first tree to actually blossom and bud, which should make you think of Aaron's rod. I have articles that are about this, so I'm not going to go into it. But then we come to the Torah portions. And so you have bo, and which means come. It can mean go, but it includes the 8th and 9th plagues, the first Passover, the very first commandment that Adonai gives to Israel as they come out of Egypt is about the new moon, the new months, the beginning of months, which is in Nisan. You have the consecration of the firstborn also in that portion. Then you have Bashalach, which means when he's sent. And in that portion, you have the pillars of cloud, the pillars of fire that cross the Reed Sea. You have the Song of Moses, the Song of Miriam. So many prophetic insights just in the songs. The bitter waters are made sweet. You have the manna from heaven. You have water that comes from the rock. And then at the very end of all that, because of the discontentment of the people, they have a war with Amalek. And that will be in that upcoming article I'm going to write about. We also have the portion Yitro, which is Jethro. And that's where he gives Moses advice on setting up rulers and so that the people can bring cases to them. We have the children of Israel reaching Mount Sinai, which is wonderful because then they're going to receive the 10 words. They're basically seeing the throne room opened from heaven. You have the laws of the altar. And then in Mishpatim, it means judgment, from Mishpat, judgment. You have the law of the bondservants, laws about violence, property, restitution, the Shemitah year, the Shabbat, overview of some of the Moedim. You have the promise of the conquest of Canaan, the blood covenant, and then they're on the mountain with God in Exodus 24, which is just an awesome, awesome portion too. Harkening back to them being at the mountain and receiving the 10 words. So anyway, so the two articles, and I'll link to them in the blog post. One of them is called Tu B'Shavat. If you want to know more about the 15th of Shabbat, that will be a link you can click in the article that will include these videos. And then there's another one called, I think it's Chodesh Shavat, and it says taste and see, because the sense for the month is taste. And this is one of my favorite articles I've written. So I really hope that you'll take the time to look through it. It's lengthy, but it's good, and it's very encouraging. So let's talk about the pail or the bucket. I'm going to look at my time. We're about 11 minutes, so I'm not going to go very deep into this, and we'll do the deeper portion in part two. But the pail or the bucket, the deli, which is the mazel, we can definitely see Messiah as this water carrier, right? He's the giver of living waters. He's the one beside the well. He is the spring of salvation. He is the one that makes those flow from within us. But technically, we are supposed to be a bucket. And I thought, you know, have you ever thought of yourself as a bucket? I mean, sometimes you might think of yourself as a cup, or and sometimes an empty cup, but hopefully it's more often a full cup that's ready to give forth. And we all need to get our cup filled. And I encourage you to have good people around you that are edifiers, that do build you up and do not tear you down. So what does a bucket do, though, or a cup? They draw water from a well. You can't get water from a well without a bucket. And that's important. And the bucket should not have holes. It should be able to hold the water securely. And then the whole purpose is so that it can then pour forth water to others. And so I thought I would look at the Hebrew word for deli. And it is used just simply for a bucket or a pail. But it is found in some interesting places. It's found in the third oracle of Balaam, which we often sing the first portion of this as the Matovu in the prayers. And it says, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens beside the river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from his buckets. And that's the deli. And his seed will be by many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag or Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He is for him like the horns of the wild ox. He will devour the nations who are his adversaries, and will crush their bones in pieces and shatter them with his arrows. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who dares rouse him? Blessed is everyone who blesses you, and cursed is everyone who curses you. Obviously, this is speaking about Messiah, but just because it's speaking about Messiah doesn't mean it's not speaking about you. You should also have water that's flowing forth from your buckets. And we'll go a little bit deeper into that in part two. I pray you have a blessed Shabbat and a wonderful 11th month. Shalom.